open our Bibles. And tonight I'm going to talk about Malachi's promises. Did you know you made promises, Malachi? Malachi's promises. So we're going to begin reading at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And we're going to read all the way through Malachi 3 and all the way through Malachi 4. And so it's a little bit of reading, but I felt like it was pretty much needful in order to have a good foundation for what I'm going to share with you tonight. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord. So we already seen one promise, right? Amen. Verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Fuller's soap is what they whiten stuff with, I think, is they clean clothes or whatever with, is what I understand. But verse 3, and he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi. Look, that's the ministry, sons of Levi. And purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, and as in former years. So look what happens. Once he gets through with this purging, then the offering that they make will be accepted of the Lord, because prior to this it's not. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hireling of his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father, ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Boy, wouldn't that be awesome? A blessing you couldn't even hold it all. They have to share it with somebody else. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your wine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Because he is the Lord of the harvest, right? And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord, yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord. Remember a while ago it said those that don't fear God, that oppress the hireling and all that, they don't have fear. Well, now he's going to talk about those who do fear him. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man that spareth his only son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And chapter 4, verse 1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall not leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Let's bow our hearts to pray just for a moment to him. Lord Jesus, as we come to you now in the ministry of your word, Lord, we desire to be able to speak words that would encourage your people, Lord, that it would be something that would lodge down in their heart and make a change, make a difference for them, that in days to come, Lord, that your great Holy Spirit would be able to bring to remembrance the things that you say tonight. This is your words, Lord, and I pray that you would stop me from saying anything that would not be your word, Lord, but that you would use me, allow me, or cause me to get out of the way and let your Holy Spirit move upon me, Lord, to speak these words of eternal life. I pray, God, that you would edify your people tonight. And I know, Lord, that as you do, I will be edified myself. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. I apologize for having to stand for so long. So we're going to talk about Malachi's promises. He made a lot of promises in there, didn't he? But you know, the ones that he's most famous about is Malachi chapter 3, where he says, "Behold, I'll send my messenger before me." That's a famous one among the church. We hear that quite often. And chapter 4, "I will send unto you Elijah the prophet." Now, both of these are promises that Malachi has given, along with many other things. And what I wanted to share tonight, one of the things I want to show is that both of these, typically we think of Malachi 3 being John the Baptist and Malachi 4 being Elijah to come in our day, and this is true, but also I can show you that both of those passages have compound meanings, compound revelations. They both apply to both John and the coming of Elijah today, because John the Baptist came in the anointing of Elijah too. And so they both talking about both the first and second coming of the Lord, this messenger coming before him. And so now, just to set the stage here, I want to show you here that what's going on with Malachi is that he is bringing a court case against Israel. He's bringing a court case against them. Now remember, in order to have a court case, you have to have a law that's in place. You have to have a subject who is either has or has not broken that law, and there's an accusation that has to be brought up in a court of law. And so this person or people or whatever it is brought into this courtroom, and there's accusations that is accusing them of breaking this law, right? It's accusing them of breaking this law. And then, of course, once the court case is heard and the testimonies or whatever has been weighed out, then a judgment is given, a decision is made, and a judgment is given pertaining to whether this person or these people are guilty or not guilty, and also a punishment that comes along with that, right? Because they usually sentence someone when they're found guilty, or if they're not found guilty, they obviously don't sentence them. But if they're found guilty, then there's a sentence to follow, and then they have to carry out and they have to endure that sentencing. Sometimes, if it's worse, bad enough, it might mean that they'd be put to death or something like that. So that's a court case, right? And so you find out that Malachi, and remember, we had all the Old Testament, and God knew what he was doing, okay? Had all the Old Testament, where all there was the law and the prophets and everything, and it came up to the point where Israel was carried away into Babylon. Then they returned, and during this time, this prophet Malachi rose up and he spoke these things, and then God had no more prophets on the scene for 400 years. It was silence for 400 years. The last one that was there was Malachi, and we just read almost half of what he spoke. So we read that, and so Malachi spoke these things, and then silence for 400 years, and then all of a sudden, John the Baptist come on the scene. First prophet they had since Malachi. I think God did that on purpose so that they could definitely see, for sure, such a silence. And then all of a sudden, on the banks of the Jordan River, rose up this man who was baptizing people. And it was a stir because the scripture said the whole place, everybody went out there. They wanted to see what was going on. And that was the kind of ministry he had. It had to be the kind of ministry that was going to get the people's attention. They were all going to come hear it. They were going to know what was going on, because this ministry's job, one of his jobs, was to prepare the way for the Lord, to make his path straight. In other words, make it easier for the Lord to come and do what he was supposed to do. So he had this forerunner, John the Baptist, to do that. And so Malachi sets the stage for what's going to happen. He has brought accusation against Israel. Because this is what he said. He said, I will come near to you in judgment. This is the Lord speaking. I'm going to send my messenger, and I'm going to do these things, and I'm going to come to my temple. And Malachi is telling about this. And Malachi sets the stage for this whole thing, because he says, in there he says, I'll come near to you in judgment, because ye have gone away from my ordinances. We read this. You've gone away from my ordinances. Ye have robbed me. Your words have become stout against me. Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is there that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? That's what they said. We just read it. So he is accusing them. You have robbed me. You have walked away from my ordinances. You're oppressing the widows and the fatherless and all these things. And so he's bringing accusation against Israel. And he says, I'm going to send to you Elijah the prophet. I'm going to send this messenger before my face who's going to prepare the way for me. And judgment's going to set. I'm going to come near to you in judgment. And we're going to deal with these accusations. We're going to deal with this case where Malachi has accused you against my law. And we're going to bring this thing to pass and see what's going to happen here. Bring it to judgment. Now, who is involved in this? Well, obviously, the spirit of Elijah is, right? Spirit of Elijah on the ministry of John the Baptist. And so what did John do? He was out there and he was telling them all about it, right? He's telling them how they, you know, do this, do that. This is, you know, and even Herod, he says it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So he was really tearing them to pieces, right? So that was John. So God is setting the stage here, a court case with Malachi, as he says this, and he's foretelling this to come. Now, I want to point out to you that Moses and the law, or Moses represents the law, and the law is what puts you in jail, right? The law puts you in jail, has absolutely no ability to take you out of jail. It is here to condemn you, and it can't do anything to help you once it's condemned you. His job is done, right? And so Moses, representing the law of God, puts you in jail, and then, of course, we come along and find out these are things Brother Branham shared with us. And once you hear him, then you see it in the Bible everywhere you look, that Elijah represents the justice of God. So the law comes along and looks at a person and says, you know, thou shalt not. The law condemns the person, but the law doesn't bring judgment. It sets the stage, and that's the thing by which they are judged by. Against. And so Moses brought the law, and the law condemns people because nobody can live the law, right? So he condemns the people. And then Elijah comes along with the justice of God, and the justice of God will destroy. That's the sentencing that takes place, and will destroy because nobody can live it, right? Everybody follow me? Nobody can live it. And so this is what Brother Branham laid out, how he laid it out. The law, Moses represented the law, puts you in jail. Elijah represents the justice of God. And Brother Branham said this, I don't want the justice of God. Because if I have God's justice, he has to look at his law and say, you have failed, you must be condemned. He says, I don't want the justice of God. But what I want to show you here is that this court case is being brought up, and in order to have this case, there's accusations have to be there. Then there has to be a case where it's checked against the law or against the laws of the land to see if there was a problem there. And so the judgment comes, and it comes with Moses present, because Moses represents the law. And then Elijah comes, and Elijah is there. He is the justice of God to condemn. Now, how many remembers Mount Transfiguration? You remember Mount Transfiguration, where the Lord was there on the mountain. Peter called it the Holy Mount, but it was the Holy God on the mountain. Mount Transfiguration. And, you know, it's following the type of adoption, where in Israel, a son, even though he's a son, he's not fully placed into the power and authority of the Father's house and kingdom until he comes to a ceremony of adoption. And so the way it works was that the father would have a tutor train him, and when the child was mature enough, could handle the power, then the father would say, okay, it's time to adopt him into authority in my house, into my kingdom. And so he wouldn't just come and say, okay, son, now it's time, you're now a man. He didn't do that. He would actually have a ceremony. He would come to have this adoption ceremony. And in this ceremony, the dad would take his son and we'd set him up on a high place, like a scaffolding or something high in the city, where all the people could look up and see him. And he would wrap him in a white robe, put a white robe around him, and he would say to everybody, this is my son. He's now equal with me. He's now adopted. He now has the power. He can sign the checks just like I can sign the check. If he comes in to establish, to buy something under my name, his name's just as good as mine. He can do it. And so he would have this ceremony so that all the townspeople would know it. Right? And everybody would look up and see Junior as now arrayed in white raiment, and his dad has spoken to him and has spoken to the people and has said, now he's about my business. He can be in power. Now, this was the Jewish customs. This had been going on for years. It was something that had been delivered to them from the Lord. And so that was the customs. And so when it come time on Mount Transfiguration, it came time for Jesus to come to full authority as the Son of God to do what God wanted him to do. And so you find out on the Jordan River early when Jesus was first being introduced, the voice spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And that was it. But we find later on here on Mount Transfiguration, God takes the Lord Jesus Christ up there and he adopts him. And so the scripture said, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and they went up there. And Jesus, his raiment, began to appear bright and white. So he began to glow, I guess, if you could say it that way. And while he was standing there, Moses and Elijah both appeared. This was on Mount Transfiguration. And so Moses and Elijah appeared, and this voice from heaven speaks and said the same thing it did at the Jordan when he was first being introduced, but he also added something else to it. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. That's what he said on Jordan. But then he said, hear ye him. Why? Because now his word, his authority is in force. And so this is what happened. Now, Brother Branham comes along and he's telling us, he's looking back online and he says, here's Jesus Christ coming to adoption, coming to full power. And to tie it back to what I'm sharing with about Malachi's promises, I want to show you that when Jesus was coming to his adoption, Elijah came and Moses came. Both came there and were present at that ceremony at that time when this was happening. So it must be that God wanted Elijah to be present and Moses to be present, and to be present at the time when the Son of God was coming to adoption, when he was coming to his full power, fixing to do what he was ordained to do. Right? Everybody follow me then? So this is what happened. Now, Brother Branham is explaining this, and this is where he talks about it. He says, Moses represented the law of God to condemn you. Elijah represented the justice of God to destroy you. Because remember, Elijah called fire down from heaven, and Elisha. when they sent 50, an army of 50 men, and came, and the prophet called fire down upon them and consumed them. And they sent another 50, he called fire down and consumed them. And I think it was when the third 50 it was, when they sent them, the leader of that 50 was real humble and would say, please, you know, be merciful. Don't destroy us like you did the others. So Elijah, remember, he called fire down and consumed the altar and so forth. So he has the ability to call the judgment of God down upon a people or upon a nation. So Moses is present to condemn them with the law of God that says, you know, you're supposed to live thus and thus, and you haven't done it. And because now that you haven't, now Elijah is here to bring judgment down and consume and destroy those who have been transgressors of the law, right? And so Brother Branham was explaining that, but if you read in the scriptures, it said that this cloud coming and overshadowed them. And when the disciples looked up, it said they saw Jesus only. And his voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased, hear ye him. And so what unfolded there is that the real true heart of God is not to condemn and to destroy. But you've got to understand you're a sinner. So there has to be a law to tell you need a Savior. So God's purpose is to show you you're a sinner with the law, but to give to you Christ to save you rather than to give to you Elijah to destroy you. Does that make sense? So this is what happened. And so Brother Ren was showing it. He said the way it all unfolded was, here's Moses and Elijah there, but when they all lifted up their head, they saw Christ only. Moses had passed off the scene. Elijah had passed off the scene. In other words, judgment, the law of God to condemn you was pushed to the side. The judgment was pushed to the side. And the only thing left was the mercy of God through Jesus Christ. That was what happened during that time. And that's what happened when the Son of God came to adoption. Now, Brother Ram says, now, this is a preview. This is a preview of what's going to happen when the sons of God come to adoption, which is at the end, right? So at the end, when the sons of God come to adoption, when they come to their full purpose, and they are adopted by the Father so that he says, looky here, they're equal with me now. During that time, again, Moses should come on the scene. Elijah should come on the scene, right? But we realize that it will be the body of Christ. It will be the believers in this hour, the sons of God coming to adoption. They're the ones that are coming to adoption in this hour like it was then, him. But as we come to adoption, guess what else is present? Moses will be present with a strict word to condemn the generation of their failures. And Elijah will be present with the fire and judgment and justice of God. And people will be given a choice to either, because they're going to have the law condemn them, and they're going to be told what's right and what's wrong and where they've missed it, and they have a choice. They can either accept Jesus Christ in the face of the sons of God in this hour coming to adoption, or if they don't accept that, they'll have to deal with the judgment of God that's being delivered to this earth by a prophet, Elijah. Right? That's what happens. So, both of these in these scriptures we're talking about here, we're talking about Moses and Elijah in Malachi chapter 3, Malachi chapter 4. Both of them, they're talking about the first coming and the second coming of Christ. Remember the first time he comes to redeem his bride, right? The second time he comes to get her, but at that coming he's actually coming into her. It's a bride coming of Christ. And though he takes us in a rapture and then comes back bringing her with him. Okay? And so there's a first coming where there was a messenger who was before Jesus, which was John. Today there is a messenger to be before Christ in this hour, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Your message will forerun the second coming, right? So both of these are happening in the same way. So in there, he says, I will send my messenger before my face. He sent John before Jesus. He sent William Branham before the opening of the seals. Right? Before you and I came to our complete understanding of who we are by the opening of the seals He sent a messenger before his face. Right? And suddenly, he says, I'll send my messenger before my face, and suddenly, I'll come to my temple. Right? So he sent John the Baptist, and suddenly, God came to his earthly tabernacle, his earthly temple, Jesus Christ. He came to that temple to fulfill his word, but it happens today too. Suddenly, after he sends this prophet, suddenly, he comes to his temple. What is his temple? The body of Christ. Suddenly he comes. The anointing of Almighty God comes into his people, not just like it was through seven church ages, but Christ himself clothes himself in the bride of Christ and brings the manifestation of the sons of God on this earth. And while he's doing that, Moses is present and Elijah is present. And a generation is being brought into judgment. They're giving one final opportunity to accept the grace of God or be condemned. That's what happened in that day. So this is what Malachi is saying. You've done this, you've done that, your words have been stout against me. Now I'm going to read that again. I want you to tell me, is it not this generation that's done the same thing that he was accusing them? You've gone away from my ordinances. You've robbed me. Your words have been stout against me. You said it's vain to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? Isn't that the people of America now? We were a godly nation, but no profit in that now is what they're saying. Yeah, they don't want to do it. No profit. We've kept his in keeping his ordinance, and we have and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord. So it's a repeat. Everybody follow me. It's a repeat. What he sent John the Baptist to deal with in that hour and the law there, he's doing it again in this day. And so when Jesus came, Moses and Elijah was present there at that time. And so is it in our day. But the scripture says, who shall abide his coming? Because he is as a refiner's fire, and he will purge the sons of Levi. Now think about what you hear Brother Branham saying. Where was his biggest complaint, his biggest beef, was against the false teachers, the false religious system. So here's a man who's anointed with the same spirit that was on John the Baptist to call out right and wrong. And he come here, and his main theme was to correct the ministry, to purify the sons of Levi, as it were, in our day. Because that's what Jesus did. Go back and read it. Read it in this way when you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He ate with sinners and publicans. He was giving the gospel to them. But where do you find him leveling down on them hard is the religious leaders. That's who you see him coming hard against, because they were the ones guilty of teaching false doctrine, leading the people astray. So Brother Branham come, and you read Malachi, Revelation, the Laodicean church age. He's not got a happy message, right? He doesn't have a message that they, because he has to say, you're blind, you're miserable, you're poor, you're wretched, you're naked. They're not going to like him. Right? Because he's rebuking them. They didn't like John because John was rebuking them, right? So the same thing's happening. He sends Elijah for the same purpose he did back then. So who's going to be able to stand his coming? Not one of the ministries of today can stand before that prophet and say, hey, I meet the mark. They all have gotten off the word. Every one of them. Who can stand? Who can stand this coming today, where a messenger comes and prepares the way for the Lord, and the Lord suddenly comes to his temple, and he's standing there, and judgment is set? Who's going to be able to stand in that presence? Who can stand against that word? None of them. They sit right there and accuse him of what they call false teaching about his baptism there in Chicago, 400 of them. And he, you know, they challenge him, and the Lord comes, and they, you know, if you're probably familiar with the story, and then a bunch of them says, well, we're going to come and get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't come. None of them could stand before that prophet. He stood right there among them. He said, I want somebody, come get your Bible and stand here with me. They wouldn't come because they couldn't stand the word. Who shall abide his coming? He will purge the ministry. And then, now keep in mind, he's here. The purpose of God, what he wanted to do, was not destroy people. He wanted people to come to the mercy of Christ. That's the way it was on Mount Transfiguration. So it would be the same today. God does not want to destroy a generation, but he has to push, he has to press the issue of whether or not they meet the law of God or not, if they're following after the truth that they're supposed to. And if they don't, then they have a choice to either repent, yeah, or receive the judgment that has been delivered by the mouth of a prophet that had the anointing of Elijah. Right? Everybody follow that? So he's given them opportunity now, and that's what he did then. And so after he comes and the judgment is set, he wants to give people a chance to have forgiveness and to not be destroyed by the wrath of God. And so they have to repent. And if they do repent, he comes to purge the sons of Levi. He comes to purge the ministry. And if the ministry will repent, if the people will repent when they hear these truths, then the offering will be pleasant to the Lord, right? Then the offering will be pleasant to the Lord as it was in the days of old. So he's telling them there, when John came, when Jesus came, hey, if you'll take the correction that's here, I'm settling this right now. I brought you into a court case and we're going to settle this. And if you'll accept my pardon and accept these truths and embrace them, then as you worship me, I will accept you, because then your offering to me will be acceptable as it was in the days of old before you got all messed up in your doctrines and stuff. Everybody follow that? So that's what he says, and he says the same thing today. If you'll repent of these things, then your offering to the Lord will be accepted. It'll be pleasant to him if you receive the ministry that's in this hour to do those things. So, once again, he brings a court case to this generation. Elijah has come on the scene. Sons of God are coming to adoption, and the law is here present. The word is here present. The law of Moses, representing the law, is here to press the issue. Right? And so, Brother Branham, here it is. This prophet's on the scene. And he says, I indict this generation for the second crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sounds like a court case, doesn't it? And at the same time Brother Branham is preaching those, he's also preaching a sermon called Pardon. Think about it. He preaches this indictment, and there's several times he preaches a trial. And he is showing how this generation, that there's a trial going on, and how they're trying God, and they've come against God because, well, you know, you said this was happening, it didn't happen, and so forth, you know. If you've listened to it, you know what I'm talking about. Just go listen to some of the sermons called a court trial or a trial. But my point I'm showing you is that here's Elijah on the scene, sons of God coming to adoption. People's fixing to be judged because of what God is doing. And during that time, there's an indictment taking place. They're indicted. They're going to be judged. They're being accused. And so there's a court case to determine whether or not they're guilty, and they're going to go into judgment if they don't accept correction. So as this same prophet is indicting this generation, there's mercy, a pardon. He preaches the pardon. So that's what happened. If you accept it, you'll be pardoned. If you reject it, then there's no pardon. It's an indictment, and there's going to be judgment. So this is what has happened in our day. This is why Brother Branham, he said these things, you know. This is what he was talking about. People didn't know it probably back then, but now we know what he was talking about, because once again, this ministry of Elijah, Moses and Elijah, has come on the scene. I wanted to read this quote. Brother Branham says, and this is in 1960, in the Revelation of Jesus Christ, just to show you what's happening. Brother Branham had gone to Shreveport. He said, and then when I got to Shreveport, Louisiana, a woman who is a gifted woman, her name is Miss Schroeder, many years ago when the angel of the Lord had met me down there at the river the first time it appeared in the night, in the light, and the words that he spoke down there 11 years later, when I walked into the meeting, this little woman rose up, spoke in tongues and interpreted, and it was word for word the same thing the angel had said. So this woman, spoke as John the Baptist. She didn't know nothing about it, but she, through prophecy, spoke as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. Same thing that was said on the river. And he said, this same little woman, because she spoke that, and it was, he said it was word for word the same thing the angel said there on the river. He said, this same woman at this particular time, he said, when I walked into the tabernacle or into the place at Shreveport that we were in, the live tabernacle, the Holy Spirit moved on that woman and said word for word what he said unto me up there in the hill. And he's talking about being in the hill and God speaking something to me. And so God used this woman to speak to him that way, same way. And the Spirit began to move and give interpretations and foretellings of things by the revelation, by prophecy, the things that were to happen in the meeting the following night. And not one time did it fail. And before that, a little woman stood up in the meeting, a Baptist woman, had come over there, not knowing what she could do. And she was standing in the midst of the meeting, and the Holy Spirit fell on her, and she began to speak with tongues, a Baptist woman from a First Baptist Church of Shreveport. And then she didn't know what she did. And then before she could say anything, the Holy Spirit gave interpretation and said, thus saith the Lord, within 3 months, there will be the spirit of Moses, Elijah, and Christ ministering in this tabernacle. Moses, Elijah, and Christ. And Brother Branham said, there it happened perfectly. So the ministry of Moses, Elijah, and Christ was all present there in that day. Why? Because you got adoption coming. It has to be like it was when Jesus was here. When he was being adopted, Moses had to be present, Elijah had to be present, right? And Christ had to be present. And all three are present in this ministry today to fulfill the word of God. And so when Brother Branham said, I indict this generation, he knew what he was talking about, but he also knew what he's talking about when he said pardon. Right? And remember, he said a pardon, in order for a pardon to be enforced, you have to receive it as a pardon. Right? If you don't accept it as that, then it's not enforced to you. So once again, you have to hear the claim of the ministry of the day, the accusation that they have deviated from the word, and repent of that and come to that, and then you'll be pardoned and your offering will be acceptable by the Lord. But if you reject that, then you've got nothing but the fire of God to fall upon you from the mouth spoken by the mouth of Elijah the prophet in our day. Everybody follow that? This is what's happening. This is why it's going the way it's going out there in the world. But what I want to show you here is that while he is, as we've said here, he says, let me just rehearse here a little bit. He says, you've been stout, you've done all this, and I'm coming near to you in judgment. I'm going to clean house, is paraphrasing. But he said, but, you that don't fear me, but, there's this other group who do fear me. I hear that. I'm writing that down in a book of remembrance. I am remembering them because they fear me and they speak often to one another about me. They're not like this other group that has gone away from my ordinances and all these things. There's this little group that do want to serve me. And so he says, I'm bringing judgment, and this judgment is going to come like a fire. It's like a day. When this day comes, it's going to be like an oven because it's a refiner's fire, right? And a refiner refines with fire. He already said that. My day will come and be like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. So a refiner's fire. So he says, this day is going to burn like an oven. What? He's going to call the judgment on the scene. He's going to bring this court case to a head. And the judgment of God is going to fall. But while that's happening, he says, this is what's going on. But there's another group during that hour that they think on me. And I am putting their names in a book. Thank God. And I will spare them in that day when I make up my jewels. Now remember, it's a day that burns in an oven because he's going to test and try and see what men are made of. And jewels, gold and silver and precious stones and those things in the presence of fire only get better. They don't burn up. But humanity wood, hay, and stubble, all those things burn up in the presence of fire. So he says, there's a day I'm going to make up my jewels. My people that are gold and silver and they're precious to me, the fire won't hurt them. It's only going to purify them. But the same fire that purifies them is going to destroy the others. So the same message that John preached that caught people's attention, and they believed John and believed Jesus, that same message saved them and made them better. But the ones who rejected it, they were burned up by the judgment of God. You understand what I'm saying? They go away into judgment. So the same thing's happening now. Same thing's happening today, that God has sent a message and it burns like an oven. If you don't like the Word of God and you don't tally up to the Word of God and you got some organizational religious ideas, you don't want to stand in the presence of this prophetic Word because it burns, right? So it's burning as an oven, but during that same time, there's a little group of people. And he says, I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them like a man would spare his son that serves him. Right? So my point I'm trying to show here is that he is purposely bringing this judgment, purposely bringing the day as an oven, purposely coming to deal with matters. But at the same time he purposely is doing that, he has another purpose. And he says, I will spare my people during that hour. So it's a rough time, but it's a time that he's only purifying his sons and his daughters. He will purify the sons of Levi if they will let him. And then they'll preach a good message, and it'll be accepted to the Lord, be accepted of the Lord, and everybody will, you know, everything will be fine. But if they don't accept those things, then they have judgment. So this is what's happening. So while he's purposely bringing this fire, he spares them and takes them out of the way of that judgment. Because he goes on to say, he said, for the day that burns in the oven, he said, but you're going to go forth and grow up as calves in a stall. And he said, then ye shall return and judge between the righteous and the wicked, him serves God and him serves him not. For the wicked shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. So this judgment is coming to burn, and somehow or another he moves us into some place in some way where he says that after this burning is over with and they're ashes, then ye shall return. There's rapture in the Bible if anybody wants to know. Not the word rapture. But you see what I'm saying. This is in the hour that he's going to bring judgment and burn the wicked on this earth. And that wasn't in John's day because the earth wouldn't burn over like that. But in this day it'll be burnt, and he takes us out of the way of judgment, burns up the wicked somehow or another, and then we return and we walk right out on the same earth, right out on the same thing that we once were in that got burnt over by the judgment, but he took us out of the way while he did it. Now, he could physically take us off somewhere else, but my point is that simply by the word preaching that burns and destroys the hearts of people because they reject it, that same message can protect you, and you could be inside a token message protected from wrath of God and still be standing right here. And in essence, you're out of the way because you're protected. He can keep you right here, or he can take you in a body change. It doesn't matter, whichever way he wants to do it. But the point is that while he's promised that I'm going to save my people, I'm going to protect them during this hour. That's what he's promised. I'm going to protect them in this day that burns as an oven. And I will spare them as a man will spare his own son. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. And so he goes on to say this. The day that burns is oven, and all the proud and the wicked and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. The wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn as an oven, saith the Lord, that it shall not leave them root or branch. One place when Brother Branham read that, he said, it shall not leave them root or branch. Now, you know what the branch is. It's the thing that grows off because you got root. Right? So he says, I'm not going to, when I get done with it, there's not going to be a branch. There's not going to be a root left of them. Because you know what? You cut the branch off, but if there's still a root there, it might come back. So he's saying right there, I will do this, and there will not even, of this wicked, there will be no root or branch left. Brother Branham said, where is your eternal hell? There is no eternal hell. Because they will be destroyed to be neither root nor branch. Because remember, in order for you to suffer through eternity in hell, you'd have to have a form of eternal life to suffer indefinitely. So there is no such thing. And the scriptures bear that out. It's not an eternal hell. It is a fire of God. It lasts a certain amount of time. Who knows how long it is, but it's not eternal. Because things that are eternal were not created. They always were. And hell, the Bible says hell was formed for the devil and his angels. Right? So there is no such thing as eternal hell. And Brother Brandon says it here. He says, where's your eternal hell? When he reads it, it said there will be no, neither root nor branch. So, no root, no branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. Now I want to ask you a question. To you that fear my name, remember he wrote a book about you. And he says, I'm going to spare you like a man spares his child in the day when I make up my jewels, which is when he puts fire on the earth. And now he says, here's a day that burns as an oven, and it'll burn up all the wicked. But to you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing in his wings. Why would he send the Son of Righteousness to you? You know he's not sending the Son of Righteousness to the wicked with healing in his wings to help them, because that's the purpose, to destroy the wicked. But he sends the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings, what? To heal you. Right? To send a message that will heal you of all the things that Satan has tried to put upon you and got you. In other words, if God sends a gift of healing to us, it's because we need it. When Brother Branham is talking about this, so that we might understand what he's talking about, and you hear me say this many times, but Brother Branham said, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing campaigns. To let you know that in the hour when all this is going on, and Elijah's present, the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Christ, the spirit of Elijah, is all present in this hour when this is going on, this Son of Righteousness has to be here. And he has to be here with healing in his wings, because this is the hour that the judgment is set. This is the day that burns as an oven. This is the hour that he's got to save his people while he's burning up the wicked. This is the hour that that has to happen. And so that Son of Righteousness has to rise with healing in his wings, with healing campaigns, but with a message. He sends his words and heals them. What is it that's going to heal you from sin and death and put you in a body change? His word. He sends his word to heal you. So he heals you by his word. So the Son of Righteousness has risen in this hour and set it off with healing campaigns and a ministry and a message that certainly got healing in it, because it's got thus saith the Lord in it. So God is sending his word to correct us, and we have to receive that correction. And if we receive it, then we're spared. We're pardoned. But if people reject it, they have nothing left. How many times have we heard Brother Brown say it? There's nothing left if you reject it. Nothing left but the judgment of God. There's no other avenue to either accept what God has done with an absolute Bible vindication, to accept that and embrace it. And if we don't, the only thing left is judgment of God. There's no way. There's no other avenue. The road forks, and there's no other way. Embrace it or receive the judgment. And that's what has happened. So he spares his people, takes him out of the way of judgment, and then we return. And of course we judge, because remember, we're going to judge the earth. We're going to be here in a millennium. We're going to be, you know, with him at the white throne judgment at the end of the millennium, right? So we return back to the earth, and we're going to be judging. But I want to show you another little neat thing. Because we wonder sometimes, what are we going to do in the millennium? If we leave here in a rapture, and then he brings us back here after he burns all the wicked off, and Satan's bound for 1,000 years, what are we going to do? Well, I want to show you a little thing here. You know that when you have wheat, or any other plant, you have wheat growing in a field. It's all growing there, and it grows up, and your purpose is to have a multitude of wheat like the original. And in Bible terminology, talking about wheat, there's harvest time, And there is a time that you take that wheat, it goes to the threshing floor, it goes and it's carried away and put into the barn, right? Into the garner. What happens to the wheat, to the chaff? What happens to the shuck? What happens to all the stalk? It's all burnt. Remember, it took Luther, the stalk, Wesley, the tassel, whatever they call it, whichever way it is, the shuck, Pentecost, it took all of them to bring the grain, the message. All right? And that message is the grain and the winnowing and all the separation that takes place so that what goes into the barn that takes up the place in the barn or the garner is the precious wheat. But what's not in that rapture is the stalk, the tassel, and the shuck, which was Pentecost. Am I speaking the message? That was, I hope, if Brother Daniel was here, I know he would say, hey, you know. Right? That's not in the rapture. That doesn't go into the barn. That's left behind to be burned. Right? That's what's left behind to be burned. But let me show you a real neat thing. You grow a field of wheat. You go through the process of harvesting it. You go through the winnowing and you separate it all out. You put it in the barn in protection and rapture. You spare it from the fire of everything that's not wheat. Right? You put it up there and you spare it and burn the field over, burn the whole thing up. What are you doing? You're preparing for next year's harvest. And what happens on next year's harvest? You walk right over to that grain that was once here, that grew here, that was developed here, that you took away in a rapture to your garner. You bring that grain and you plant it right here where it once was, that it might grow and prosper and bring forth fruit itself. You see what he's doing? He takes us away, destroys, and brings us right back here and plants us once again on this earth in that supernatural form. So you see the process of how it works. But he has to use the judgment, the fire. You can't just come along and put it back out there with all that stubble and all that stuff. There's a process of the way all this works. And so this is what he's doing. So he says the wicked will be ashes on the soles of your feet. So now, in Malachi chapter 4, almost there, almost done. Malachi chapter 4. He says, this is all going to happen. He says in 3, it's going to be a day of an oven. A day that burn, make up his jewel. Malachi 4 is going to be as a day as an oven. And Malachi 3 says, I'll spare my people. And Malachi 4, he's talking about the same thing. He says, it's going to be a day as an oven, but the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing. This is how I'm going to save my people and keep them. I'm going to bring a message with start out with healing campaigns, with healing in his wings. And then it's going to go forth into a message. It's going to take him into a rapture, into the, and so. But this is going to be happening in a day that's burning as an oven. This is a day that the judgment. And by the way, what has to be present in the day of the judgment? Moses and Elijah happens. So he ends it by saying, "Remember Moses and his law and his statutes, and every word that you, this generation will be judged by. Remember Moses and his law, and behold, I'll send you Elijah." What's he going to do? What's Elijah going to do? Well, if you don't listen to him, prepare your heart for the Lord and accept the Lord, he's going to bring judgment upon you. But if you listen to him, right, then you'll get pardoned. Then you get carried away in a rapture because you hearken to it. See? So that's why he said, I always wonder, why Moses? Why does he say Moses? What does he have to do with this? That's what he has to do with it. Because Moses represents the judgment of God to the law to condemn you. And Elijah represents the justice of God. But remember, both of them are present. And Christ is on the scene. The sons of God come to adoption. And there's that final opportunity to embrace mercy or receive judgment. So the same thing happened as that forerunner came then. Here it happens now, forerunner now. And then after the bride is gone in the rapture and he turns to the Jews, who shows up over there? Moses and Elijah. Because he's got to do it with them. He's got to deal with them. You see what I'm saying? The Word of God is perfect. And here it is all going on, and people want to stand around and yak about a little old man from Kentucky that had a ministry that none of them can even come even close to. What they need to be doing is falling on their knees and finding out, you know what? I gotta find where I have deviated from the Word and get back to the Word. And you know that was Brother Branham's central theme. Get back to the Word. Because as long as you get back to that, everything will be fine. Now, Malachi's promises. He promised to send a messenger before him. Did he send him? John the Baptist, he sure did. Did he send one in our day? He sure did. Was it the ministry of Elijah that he sent? Scripture says so, that it was the spirit of Elijah on John the Baptist. What about our day? Did he fulfill that promise? You bet he did. He fulfilled that promise. So, there's a lot of promises there in Malachi. But you see, this generation has been, this whole thing has been a court case. Right? A court case. Where this world is being judged because of what they do to the Word of God. You know, Jesus said in his day, he said, if I hadn't done the works that no other man had did, then they wouldn't have anything to worry about. Their sin wouldn't be, they would. But the fact, Jesus said, the fact, and I'm just paraphrasing, but the fact that Jesus had come there and done things and raised the dead and blind people that were born blind and opened the eyes of their blind, which had never happened, you know, someone born blind that their eyes would be open. You see what I'm saying? When Jesus had done those things, he said, look, I've done such things that nobody else has even come close to. And I've done this, and therefore the sign has been given, and everybody's guilty because they've seen it, and they now it's on their hands. They have to make a decision. What are you going to do with what you've seen happen here? Right? And because that was manifested to them, if they didn't come to the truth, then they were condemned. But if he'd have just been somebody, come on, just said something, preached them a little sermon, there wouldn't be no judgment there. Because God would put it out in such an open where there was no way that you could say it didn't happen. Oh, there might be people who try to, but the point is, because they tried to say, oh, Jesus, you know, his disciples, they stole him away and all this didn't happen, he didn't resurrect and all that. But it was done out in the open in such a way that judgment was set. That people had, it was on their hands, and people had to make a decision of what they were going to do with it. And the same thing has happened in this day. I know, you know, you probably have a lot of people that probably say, well, I've never heard the name William Branham. I don't know, you know. But I can tell you one thing. Our government knows who he is. And the Catholic Church knows who he is. Our existence in the message is not unknown to them. It's not unknown. It can't be unknown. The thing that has struck this earth today has to be out in the open enough that God can do what he needs to do. And it has been done. They might say all kinds of stuff, but judgment has been set and the verdict has been given. And so I want to be found embracing. I want to be found with a pardon. And when the pardon comes to us who embrace that and says, your pardon, I want to receive it as a pardon. In other words, if I hear the message saying, you can have a body change, I want you to receive it as that. When you hear him say, you never did it in the first place, you got to receive it as that. You got to say, you know what? That was a vindicated prophet of God, and he's bringing it from the Scriptures. I see it now in the Scriptures. He said, I'm not even guilty of it in the first place. That it's all given back to the one who brought it in the first place, and that was Satan. We've got to receive that pardon. We've got to receive those words of that ministry for what it says, because that's what it's here to do. It's here to change us, and if people reject it, then it's here to condemn. So we want to receive that pardon as a pardon. Amen? So that we're not found in judgment. I've said it many times, the Lord even have, he will have to either get us out of here or hold things back. because that's how bad it's getting. But rest assured, his plan is still working just exactly the way he said it would be. Amen. We're going to bow our hearts for prayer in just a moment, and then we'll sing a dismissal song. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings upon us tonight to be able to spend this time looking into your word, to see, God, that you have done tremendous things in this hour. And Lord, I don't want the people to miss it. I don't want them to miss the magnitude. I want them to receive full blessing of what it is that you have done in this day. Lord, to show that we are on the side of the judgment, Lord, that takes a rapture and that we are pardoned, Lord, because we accept and believe it. Lord, we by no means reject these things that have been said and been done in this day. And Lord, we believe that the spirit of Moses, the spirit of Elijah, and your spirit had been present in this hour to bring these things to pass. And Lord, we are the recipients. We realize a world is going into judgment, Lord, but in that same hour that this fire is burning, God, you promised that you would have a people that you would save and you would spare, a people who love you, who fear you, who think on your name. And Lord, you said you would rise with righteousness, healing, with the Son of Righteousness healing in your wings. We believe it. And we pray, God, that you just allow us and grant to us the grace and mercy to be able to fully understand, fully receive by revelation what you've done. We don't want to miss it, Lord. We don't want to miss this opportunity. Ask God that you'd help us. And we commit it all into your hands in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Let's go to Psalm 601. By his grace. Amen. Let's all stand. We'll say this and then we'll let you be dismissed.
It's by his grace I'll prevail. It's by grace.